This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
It's the brain chemistry of the not fully matured human that these companies are going after, and the parents have just been overwhelmed. They can't keep up. If you ask a parent what's going on TikTok, they'll say they've heard of it, but they don't know anything about it. They don't have a TikTok account. Their kid does, but they don't know what they do on it, and they just feel overwhelmed. And when I talk to parents, I tell them it's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay to feel shame, embarrassment. You know, how did I let my kid get it? All of that is fine. Sure, it's your fault. Let's call it your fault. That was yesterday. Starting today, we're going to have a new normal. You're going to reclaim your authority as a parent, and you're going to move forward in a successful way to get your kid launched.
Everyone, if you're looking to be inspired, motivated, educated, and entertained, you have come to the right place. Welcome to the Bob Mom Podcast, the podcast where we explore your fitness, life mindsets, and actions that help you become unstoppable. You're worth it, and it's time to finally make changes in your life that will last you the rest of your life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast. I am Melissa Vogel, your host. If you are brand new to the show and this is your first episode, welcome. I am so glad that you have found us. And if you are returning, welcome back. Either way, make sure you guys are going back and listening to all of the episodes. Like, go back to episode number 1, 2, 3. I want you guys to know what this podcast is all about. We have amazing discount codes sprinkled out through there. We have amazing sponsors, so I don't want you to miss out on those goodies. But also, I want you to have an idea of like who I am as a podcaster, a coach, a mom, a trainer, like all of the things, because it's going to help you on your journey. And I'm hoping that I get to inspire you and encourage you along the way, get you moving, all of the things. But I always encourage people to go back and listen to all of the episodes because it really is going to make a difference on if you continue listening, but also it's going to change your life. It really is. We have so many phenomenal guests and we have over 200 episodes now. I believe we're on like episode 210, which is just mind blowing. But you guys, you have access to 210 episodes that will rock your world. And I have not always been the person that I am today. I have not always been the parent that I am today. And I like saying that because it's just more proof that you can change. You can make a difference. You can become someone totally different and grow. And I know we get really, really stuck just kind of in the day-to-day. We get really stuck in a mindset that we have right now and in our body too. Physically, we get stuck. And I want you guys to know that because a lot of people will tell me, oh my God, it must be so nice to be skinny, or oh my God, you know, you must have really good genetics, or hey, it must be nice to just not work and be a stay-at-home mom. I'm like, who the fuck is a stay-at-home mom? Because that's not me, but okay, thank you for thinking that. But people always try to take away, right? When we see someone succeed, we're like, oh, they only did that because of this. And that's not true. And I'm sharing this right now because I want you to know who I am today. She's new. She's a new person. That hopefully will give you hope that you can be a new person, that you can change, and it makes a huge difference. And that's what I want for all of you. So go back and listen. Also, you are going to hear episode number 196. Go back and listen to that one first, and then maybe come back to this one, because we have our guest returning. And it's so cool that we got to have him back and that we get to do a part two, Michael Jacobus. So make sure you go listen to 196 or listen to it after this one. It's great information either way. We just kind of piggyback off of it. So it doesn't matter really what one you listen to first, but it's so good. And we are talking today about digital detoxing, parent denial. Not cool topics, right? Like, what? Parent denial? We're talking about taking back control as a parent. We're talking about how much social media and gaming and electronics really does affect our kids. Great, great conversation with an expert on this topic. First, you guys know that I have to dive into Bob Mom, right? Not diving in. I just want to invite you all to book a discovery call with me. I know we have a lot of people that have been listening for a long time. In January, I had a lot of people that are like, oh my God, I've been listening to you since episode number one. I follow you on social media. And I can think of five women right now that in January, back in January, they jumped on board and they were like, I'm ready. I'm here. I'm going to do this. And they jumped in. They joined Bomb Mom. And holy crap, did they transform. It's been so amazing to watch them finally jump in, finally take back control. And I know we have a lot of people that listen and they're like, God, I just don't know. Book the discovery call. Let's see what is a fit for you. You're not going to know until maybe we chat, you dive in a little bit more and ask questions. And that's how you grow. That's how you learn. That's how you expose your mind. Okay. So just like today's episode, we're exposing your brain and your mind to different thoughts on electronics and the family dynamic and what's really going on with your kids in social media. And our guest, Michael Jacobus, is an amazing human being to talk to on this whole topic. He's an internationally recognized author, child development specialist, and a camp professional. He has an extensive background in youth serving nonprofits, staff training, operations, administration, and outdoor education. He's the author of two books for the camp community, The Camp Director Survival Guide and Insights and Inspirations. And in the summer of 2018, Michael started the world's first clinical summer camp program for teens and adolescents suffering from unhealthy screen time and social media overuse habits and game addiction. It's called Reset Summer Camp for Digital Detox and Life Skills. It is so cool to hear about the changes that he makes in kids' lives. And I love that this whole conversation is about transformation. Your kids might have a problem. They might be stuck too, because let's face it, electronics and everything at every age is addicting. It doesn't matter if you're 3 or if you're 33. It's an issue. And guess what? It's not going anywhere either, but we can learn how to have healthy relationships with these tools that are now in our life. And Michael, oh my God, he's so brilliant. He talks and dives all into the course that he offers. So make sure you guys check out the show notes because he offers a course and we have a discount code. If you guys go in there at checkout, enter Bomb Mom and you get 10% off the course. It's literally a course that I feel like we all just need to take as parents, regardless if we feel like our kids need to detox or not. It's that good. And we dive into that a little bit, but we talk about parent denial and what's really happening with our youth today. I could talk about this topic for hours, and I'm so glad that he came back to keep this conversation going and help all of you improve your family dynamic, improve bedtime, improve sleep, and have a healthy relationship with these electronics. All right, everyone, check out the show notes, get the course, use the code BOMBMOM, learn how to be the best parent ever, and then book a call with me. Book a discovery call with me and learn how you can be the best version of you so you can help your kids. All right, everyone, enjoy the show. Hey, everyone, welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast. Today we have Michael Jacobus back on the show with us. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, man, did we ruffle feathers after our last episode together?
That's what I hear.
The feedback was amazing. A lot of people had really good things to say about it. They were like, wow, this was a hard pill to swallow. This was super interesting. I never looked at things like that. Like, good feedback, right?
Yeah.
And then I swear to God, it was one of probably the most talked about episode, like the most DMs that I got, comments, like things like that. Then the other people were like, this isn't a problem. People, kids are just changing with times. Times are changing. That was like the biggest defense parents have. I'm assuming they were parents and we like pissed them off, but they were like, it's just changing with times. And this is just the way it is now.
A lot of parents just go with the flow like that.
Yeah, it's so damaging because I see it. A lot of parents just go with the flow with what kids want in the house with like food. And they're throwing a fit in a temper tantrum because they want talkies. And mom is like, no. And then they're like, give it to me. And then they're like, fine, you know, and they just want easy. And I think there might be a little bit of denial going on, which we can dive into. But I think parents are a little bit of denial that, no, those really affect your kid's brain. They really affect your overall attention span and how they think. And yes, putting extra weight on their body, not the best food to give them, but they just give in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, time spent on screens, be it video gaming or social media, has a detrimental effect in addition to the rising obesity crisis. And, you know, I'd love to talk more about parent denial because the problem with parent denial is you end up with a 25-year-old living at home. Who, you know, barely finished high school, if they finished high school, has no job prospects, has no real world in-person interview skills, can't get a job, can't get into college. And now the parents are wondering, why is this 25-year-old still living at home? So the challenge is to get parents to nip this in the bud now when they're, you know, preteens or teenagers so that they can have a successful launch.
Right. You just described a situation that I know of and is very close to me, not my home. And I told my daughters, I'm like, this is what failure to launch looks like. And this person is now 26, living at home, went to college, went to high school and college. But they're like, all he does is sit there and play video games all day long. 26. Do you know what I was doing at 26? I was like building my empire, raising three babies. Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy. And this person sits there, plays video games. And my daughters are like, is this what it looks like to be 26? And I'm like, hell no, that's what failure to launch looks like. But they didn't have a job in college. So they're having a hard time getting a job now because they just video gamed and went to classes. And everyone's like, what's your experience?
Right. And they have none.
No. And I think the mother is definitely in denial that this is kind of a problem.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. I talk to parents every single day. And very often it's one parent who's in denial and the other parent really sees a problem. But sometimes it's both parents are in denial. And I just tell them that 25-year-old stat. I said, do you want your kid living with you when they're 25? And they'll say no. And I'll say, well, you're on the road to just that.
Yeah.
So you need to stop being your kid's friend and start being the parent. And I know it's going to be hard and it's going to be challenging and it's going to take some work. And there will be some tantrums at first, but it will pass. Ultimately, you're doing the best service for your kid to get them out in the real world, socializing with real life people, doing chores around the house. They can still play video games and be on social media. It just can't be all encompassing.
Yeah. And it's just everything that you're saying, I can totally relate with like the food and fitness part of it, because there's some parents I've had have real conversations with. They're closer to me. Like I can overstep this boundary. I typically don't do it with clients, but it's like, do you want your child to be obese when they're 15 and when they're 16? Because the path that you have them on right now, they're going to be when they're a teenager. And then when they're an adult, this is what their life is going to look like. And is that what you want? And they're like, no, but you know, they get so mad when I throw things out, or they get so mad when I won't buy it. And like you said, it's the temper tantrum, but it will pass. And I have to constantly ask. I'm doing this boot camp right now and we're going over nutrition. And I had to remind parents, you're in charge. You are the one, Michael's shaking his head, yes. You're the one that buys the freaking food and puts it in the cart. They're not out grocery shopping. So I bet you can relate to this in like the whole aspect with their phones and electronics and social media and gaming.
Well, something you said a second ago is perfect, because you said the path you have them on. And parents need to understand that that is absolutely correct. It's not the kid's path. It's not them choosing. It's not the way the world is. And we just have to roll with it. You're the parent. You have them on a path to successful adulthood or unsuccessful adulthood.
Or
so which is it going to be?
Why do you think denial is such a large role in this? Like, how did that even start?
I think because the internet and social media and video gaming, it hits so fast. When I was a kid, you had to go to the arcade with quarters to play a video game.
Right.
You know? And then when you got a little bit older, you had in-home video gaming and those games ended. You know, there was a screen that said game over. So you could play the game again, but you beat the game and you were kind of done. With the advent of internet and online gaming, no games end. There's just a constant updated quest there's always something to do because the video game
terrifying.
Have discovered that the kid will stay on forever if they make it exciting and interesting and stimulate their brains with cortisol and dopamine. And so there is no control or limit to video game times, and social media is just the same. I think I mentioned in our last podcast, you know, I asked the kids at camp, how many of you have ever posted a photo and then taken it down within an hour because it didn't get enough likes? Every girl raises their hands, and half the boys usually. And I found that fascinating because anytime I post a video on social media, it's because I like it.
Right.
I don't care if anybody likes it.
Yeah.
But it's the brain chemistry of the not fully matured human that these companies are going after. And the parents have just been overwhelmed. You know, they can't keep up. If you ask a parent what's going on TikTok, they'll say they've heard of it, but they don't know anything about it. They don't have a TikTok account. Their kid does, but they don't know what they do on it. And they just feel overwhelmed. And when I talk to parents, I tell them, it's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay to feel shame, embarrassment. You know, how did I let my kid get it? All of that is fine. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's your fault. Let's call it your fault. That was yesterday. Starting today, we're going to have a new normal. You're going to reclaim your authority as a parent, and you're going to move forward in a successful way to get your kid launched.
Reclaim was, I think, the perfect word that you just said, like, because they're reclaiming control. And I think that word, it probably scares people at times, because reclaiming means taking charge, and taking charge means creating a new environment. And that new environment or position is scary.
Oh, for sure. And I even tell parents, like in our online course, when we talk about sleep, you know, I tell parents to have a family dinner on a Wednesday, which they should be having hopefully every night anyway.
Yeah.
And apologize. Start with the apology to your kids. I didn't realize how bad sleep deprivation was to your overall health. So starting on Sunday, we're turning off our devices and our video games at 9 p.m. so melatonin can naturally develop in the brain and we can be asleep at 10. Everybody in the house, not just the kid with the problem. So, you know, and that doesn't even address what they're doing online. It just addresses good sleep, because that's the first thing.
Yeah. Okay. So I tuck my kids into bed every night. Like, we all go to bed like around the same time. I stay up, but like, I go to each room and kiss them goodnight, make sure they don't have anything. The other two don't sleep with their phones. How do you think parents should go about that? Because I know a lot, like my 12-year-old talks with her friends, and they were talking about, like, she had a sleepover. That's what it was. And there, she was like, your mom didn't come and say goodnight to us. And she's like, she never does. What are you talking about? And my daughter was like, my mom tucks us in every night. Your mom doesn't say goodnight to you every night? She's like, no. And then they got talking, and she's on her phone. She's like, yeah, last night I was up till one. That's why I had bags under my eyes. And I'm like, so I don't think it's the norm, because I don't know what's going on in other homes. I don't think it's a norm that parents shut it down and have a routine. Would that help?
Oh, yeah, tremendously. And what we tell parents to make friends, or at least acquaintances, with the parents of their kids' friends. Because their kids are going to feel like they're missing out. If they have to shut their phone off at 9, they're missing out on other conversations.
Mm.
So talk to those friends' parents, because chances are they feel the same way and they're having the same challenges.
I bet.
So if everyone is turning off their phone at 9 p.m., there's nobody to talk to. There's nobody to miss out on. Same thing with gaming and things like that. So anytime, we'll ask kids at camp, you know, raise your hand if you have an online friend you've never met in the real world. Everyone raises their hand.
That's so scary to me.
Well, and that's not necessarily bad, but we'll tell parents that, and we'll tell parents to initiate a FaceTime or a Zoom call for 2 minutes and have it be your kid and you and your kid's friend and their parents, just so you can meet them in the real world and figure out that Johnny really is a 13-year-old in New Hampshire and not some 40-year-old creeper trying to, you know, be a predator to your kid. If your kid's friend refuses that request, that's a red flag.
Oh my God, at the sleepover. Such good content for me to tell you. Such real life stories. Because I do want to talk more about social media and Snapchat and why parents are in denial about all of that. At the same sleepover, this one little girl had a phone. I mean, we're talking about 11 years old, and had Snapchat on it and was Snapchatting this boy like the whole time. And then it turned into, send me pictures of your butt. And my daughter's like mortified. She's like, what are you doing? You don't even know if that, because she knows. She's like, you don't even know if that's a real boy. Oh my God, yes, it is. You can see his picture. Well, in the whole conversation, What gets better? In the whole conversation of it, he's like, send me pictures of you. So she went on like Canva or something and found a picture and sent that picture to the boy. And my daughter's like, you're sending him fake pictures. Why do you think he doesn't have fake pictures?
Exactly.
This is terrifying. And they were like trying to look up pictures of butts or something. I don't know. And like send it to him. But I'm like, if this was another 11-year-old boy, I don't know. Do 11-year-old boys ask for things like that? It terrified me.
Oh, yeah. Sextortion is a rapidly growing problem and actually suicide rates among teenagers. Yeah, it's called sextortion.
Okay, I've never heard that word. Extortion
from a sex standpoint. And it's okay. When you have sent nude photos, videos, of whatever, of yourself to somebody you thought was a friend. And then they say, you know, you need to send me money or I'm going to share these photos with your family, with your school, with your employer.
And
kids don't have the money and they end up suiciding. It's a rapidly growing problem.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't stress it enough how much parents need to have conversations with their kids about what they're sharing online and need to check their kids' accounts and phones from time to time and do it in a non-judgmental, yeah, non-threatening way. You know, I recommend moms, you know, it's usually the girls who are on the social media and the boys who are video gaming. There's some crossover, but that's pretty much the trend. So I'll recommend moms sit down and just ask their daughter to share their Instagram or their Snapchat. And whatever they share, don't act shocked. Don't say, oh my God, you posted that, because that's going to immediately shut your child down. Uh-huh. You just want to get them in a comfortable conversational situation where they are sharing what they're posting, sharing what they're commenting on, share what other friends are commenting on their stuff. And do that maybe once a week, just so it becomes normal. So your kid gets a feeling that, well, my mom is going to check this. So I can't really post that and I can't really post this.
Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about this because I remember you saying that there are apps that hide other apps or something. They look at it so you don't even really know. And then I think I brought this up. I can't remember now, but spam accounts, that's what kids call them, which I don't understand the word spam. I don't know if they don't understand what spam means, but my daughters will say like, oh my God, so-and-so just posted this on her spam account. Oh, this is she just shared this on her spam account. And I'm like, so it's...
In that reference, that's additional accounts that kids have. They have their personal account, and then they have a multitude of spam accounts, which are fake accounts. They pretend they're 17, they pretend they're 14, they pretend they're 23. Those are their additional accounts or spam accounts. And yes, there are apps that will hide your Instagram login. I just got an email warning this morning from a parent group about the iPhone update has a new journal app on it where you're supposed to, you know, keep notes and keep track of things that are important. You can post videos and photos, but it also has a lock screen for your facial recognition. So a parent couldn't look at a kid's journal unless they had the kid's face to unlock it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm less about the actual technology and more about the parent taking ownership of parenting and communicating regularly with their child. Because I'll tell parents, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, I'll do talks about the dangers of social media to parent groups all the time. And when I'm done talking, I'll say, you can now forget everything I said. Because while we've been talking, you know, 6 new apps have launched, 7 new games have come out, 3 new app hiding programs, you know, there is no way a parent can actually keep up other than maintaining good communication with their kid.
And they really don't. The art of communication, it's been lost. And it's so sad that parents are just either too busy to do this, they don't see the need for it. But I don't think people are sitting down and having real conversations with their kids, mostly probably because they're in denial. They don't want to know. Like, they don't want to know the response, because then that means that they might actually have to parent and deal with that whole issue.
Yeah, exactly. And families, if they're having dinners together, everyone's got their phone out. So they're not having real deep conversations anyway.
God, how can parents, okay, because the first thing I think about, I have like so many things in my head that I'm like, where with the tantrums, okay? And I know when we say the word temper tantrum, is that two words or one word? I don't even know. When we say that, I think of a 3-year-old throwing themselves on the floor in a grocery store. You know, that's probably the typical... whatever. 17-year-olds do it, 18-year-olds do it, 20-year-olds do it, 14-year-olds do it, and it's uncomfortable and it's yucky and parents don't want to deal with it at all. what would be your best advice to them to start handling that?
Well, a temper tantrum is learned behavior. It's a reaction to a situation that gets the kid what they want, regardless of the kid's age. And how parents deal with it, be it a 3-year-old or a 20-year-old, is going to teach that child whether it works or not. So giving in to the tantrum, all that does is re-encourage the kid that if you don't get your way next week, do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't give parents tips to avoid the tantrums if their kid is going to have a tantrum, other than stick your ground. Because, you know, that's why I say, you know, the have the family conversation about disconnecting the stuff for sleep on Wednesday. So everyone has Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You can stay up as late as you want. And maybe that's the norm. But starting on Sunday, we're going to turn those devices in, take the power cord to the Wi-Fi and the video computer at 9 o'clock. So there should be less of a tantrum because you gave them a heads up of a few days.
Mm.
So anytime a parent says, you know, cold turkey, I'm like way against that because you've already established a normal for your kid to be on their phone till 1 in the morning, to be playing video games till 2 a.m., eating Doritos and drinking, you know, if that's your normal, you're going to need some time to de-escalate the normal.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. Okay. I like that you said that it's learned behavior. That's a good thing because that means they can learn new behavior.
Absolutely. They learn not to throw tantrums within a week if you stick to your guns, because that's not going to fly here.
Mm-hmm.
It may have flown last month. We're in a new normal. And use those words, new normal. You know, we're kind of reclaiming the family dynamic. And this is all for your success to the kid. This is all for you to achieve, get to college, graduate high school, get a job, whatever the goal is, so you can be a self-determining, independent adult when you get to be 18, 19, 20.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
cut you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, because you said family dynamic. Like, tell me more about that, because you run a camp, the Reset Summer Camp, where kids can go and literally you're detoxing them. We talked a lot about that in the first episode together. But also parents can do like an online course that you have, but that only works, right, if everyone's on board and it's part of the family dynamic.
Right. I'll tell parents again, when I talk to them almost every day of the week, that this is not a fix my kid problem. Whether you send your kid to my program or a wilderness program or a therapeutic boarding school, you know, much more extreme options, eventually that kid's going to come home and your family dynamic hasn't changed. You just sent your kid somewhere to get them fixed or detoxed or whatever, and you've done nothing yourself. So, you know, when the kids are with us at camp, we tell the parents to look at their own relationship with technology, to set their own bedtimes, to remove technology from the kids' bedrooms. Any kid who sleeps with their phone should be sleeping with a $4 Walmart alarm clock, not their phone. But it's a complete family dynamic, and that's the real trick. So we created the online course for parents who reach out when it's not summertime or the camp's too far away or too expensive to come to or whatever. And it's funny because the very first module of that program talks about parents being on the same page. And kind of like we talked about, one parent usually sees a really big problem and the other parent is like, oh, it's not so big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell the parents, if one of you thinks it's a problem, it's a problem. So you need to be on the same page of not getting your kid to launch when they're 18 and decide that we're going to work together to fix this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the other things we talk about right in the first module is getting your kid assessed. Because I am not kidding that at least half the kids that come to my program, we have licensed therapists on staff. And we have at least half the kids that come with very obvious diagnosable issues, be it depression, anxiety, Asperger's, autism. And they've never seen a therapist. They have no medication. They have no support. And I say to parents every day, it is not a personal failure on your part.
Right.
If your child has a behavioral or a cognitive challenge. So you need to get them assessed. Maybe they need therapy. Maybe they need medication. Maybe it'll take a while to get the right medication or balance it out. I know a lot of parents who have mild Asperger kids, but they were originally diagnosed with ADD. And they wondered why the ADD meds didn't work. Well, they don't have ADD. So, I mean, so much shame and guilt is wrapped up in these parents about what could be wrong with my kids. And it's just so much easier just to ignore the problem. And then they have an adult gamer living with them when they're 40.
Today's episode is brought to you by Million Dollar Body Labs. And I love talking about my new found product called FastAid. It's BCAAs, branch chain amino acids. And everyone is always asking, do I need to take supplements when I'm working out? What do I need to take? Should I take this? Should I take that? You guys, BCAAs is what you need. They are scientifically proven to reduce muscle breakdown while helping the body use fat for fuel. This is the one thing that I do not skip and miss. Now, Fast Aid from Million Dollar Body Labs is my go-to product. They taste amazing. They're USDA organic certified, third-party lab tested, made in the USA, cruelty-free, non-GMO, all of the things, and they won't break your fast. Take one scoop in water, shake it up. I like to drink it before I'm working out and then to get me through it, and they just help fuel your workouts when you're not feeling up to it, or if you need to get in a late night one because you were doing family stuff, you know, all the mom things that we do. BCAAs are great, and I love the lemonade flavor. It's necessary in your go-to Bomb Mom cabinet. Now, Million Dollar Body Labs also has a Deep Mind, which is neurotropic. It helps keep you from crashing. So if you need to just stay up and push through some work, you need to get a late night workout in, but you don't want the jitters and you still need to fall asleep, I love the supplement and it has been working. We also have a product called Complete Restore that helps you calm down from a stressful day. If you need to improve your sleep at night, this is the one that I go to. And I don't wake up feeling groggy. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, I have no problem going back to sleep. I love it. Now you can get all three of these products in a combo called Lean Stack. Check it out. We'll put the link in the show notes. Go to the show notes, check it out. And we have a discount code for you. Enter in Bomb Mom and you will save 10% on your order. Back to the show. And they do nothing. They have that fear of finding out or the shame and guilt around it. So then they do nothing.
Yeah. I told you earlier, I spoke to a middle school parent group not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And I told them about my summer camp and we do digital detox and all that. And I said, I'm not here to sell you on my camp. I'm actually here to beg you to never need to send your kid to my camp.
Right.
Own the parenting now. Have a good, steady, balanced home life, and you will never need to send your kid to my program.
What kind of response do you get after from these parents?
I get nods and, oh, and yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, a lot of in person and to my face, I get nothing but positivity. Mm-hmm. But I'll have to wait a couple of years to tell you if they end up signing up because they didn't take any of my advice, which is fine. Don't take my advice. Have a rotten kid and
I know.
Never launch. So it's really no skin. We fill up every year and we have a waiting list. It's no skin off my nose if they participate or not.
Oh my God, Michael, I get it. Cause it's like, I'm the same way with clients and I tell them like, if I'm speaking or presenting and we're talking about things and I'm like, don't do it then. Go on living a miserable life with no purpose, no goals. You know, you're out of shape. You're feeling it. It's catching up to you. You're turning to your electronics more to just numb the pain and alcohol. Don't listen to me. Like, my mom's going to keep going with or without you.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's like, if you want the help is there. You know, we have the online course, we have the program. My cell number is on our website. I will talk to any parent and I do every day. But it's really up to them to decide to change the family dynamic for a successful outcome for their kid.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy because as you were talking about kids being undiagnosed, you know, and showing up there and stuff, it's just more proof that we have lost, I don't know, that connection with our kids, that communication. Like, how does that happen that your kid is clearly displaying behaviors, but you're so wrapped up in your world that you don't even see it? And I'm speaking from a personal family and experience that I know of, that I see things. And when I would see the child, I'm like, how was your day? Tell me what happened on the bus. Like, I'm gathering information that is forcing this person to respond to me and I'm picking up on things. Mom and dad are clueless.
Right. Well, it's funny because we teach this at camp. It all starts with sleep and nutrition. And I don't have to tell you that, and exercise and being outdoors. But it's so funny that the depression and the anxiety drops monumentally when they get enough sleep and when they have good meals. So, you know, I think the kids who come that are diagnosable, maybe some of them wouldn't be if they were getting good sleep and eating properly. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that in our online course and in the camp program. But I think the parents, you know, like I said, it came upon us so fast as parents that as long as the kids are quiet, they think it's fine. And they tell themselves they're doing their homework. And they're not doing their homework. They're on a video game or they're Snapchatting. Or I've gone to bed. My kid is up for 3 more hours, you know, on social media. But they're quiet. So it's okay. And then you wonder why they're grouchy in the morning and can't get up and don't want to go to school and they're failing. And you don't understand why. Well, this is why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I experience that because I'm divorced. So when my kids, when they do go over to their dad's, he'll go to bed at like 9:30. And then they'll call me at like 11 or something on the iPad. And I'm like, what are you doing up? Oh, dad went to bed hours ago. We're just out. I'm like, shut it down. I'm like, I know the rules aren't the same there, but you pretend that the rules are the same that apply here, apply there. And that's really hard when you have two separate houses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get a lot of divorced families and kids with, you know, varying degrees of, you know, where they live. We get kids that are being raised by nannies, don't really interact with their parents much. So it's really, we have to deal with who arrives.
Right.
But it's really kind of a sad state of parental disengagement.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about this course. So it's not scary, or because I know a lot of parents will be like, well, I'll never do that. Or it's probably stuff that won't even really help. Like, because I do like courses or challenges. And so I hear all of the like reasons why people won't do it. What are some of the topics that they'll cover throughout the course?
Well, like I said, in the first course, we really just talk about laying the foundation. So parents being on the same page, getting your kid assessed. If you're not willing to be on the same page with your spouse, if you have a spouse and you're not willing to consider getting your kid assessed, if you think there's a problem, then don't bother finishing the course because it's not going to be successful for you.
I think everyone needs that first module anyways. They probably need all the modules. Here's
what's funny. Parents always say, how can I tell if my kid has a problem? Just the fact that you ask that question means your kid has a problem.
Yeah.
It means you already know.
Yeah.
But okay. So, I mean, that's the first module. And then the second module is kind of the origins. It's a little history lesson. It's not too long, but it's, you know, how did television go from black and white, I Love Lucy,
seriously,
to, you know, online streaming, you know, the same thing with the internet and mobile phones and the rise of AI and the effects of cortisol and dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into the basics. We talk about sleep and exercise and nutrition and having a family dinner before we even get into the addictions. And then there's a module called Deep Dive, and we talk about what we said about learning the parents of your kids' online friends. We go into the dangers of gaming, social media streaming. We talk about predators, but that's not it. We talk about excessive spending. We had a kid come to camp who had spent, I think, $30,000 on his credit card, his mother's credit card, his grandmother's credit card, and his best friend's mother's credit card before he got caught and shut down. But he was already $30,000 into skins in Fortnite, you know, fake wardrobes that he'll never use, can never resell, that he has in his cyber wardrobe that he'll never use again. And then we go into, you know, life skills, you know, and it's so funny that I talk to so many parents who do everything for their kids and they think it's almost a punishment if you have your kid do their own laundry. And I'm like, it's not a punishment. It's a life skill. It's teaching your kid how to take care of themselves. Do the dishes, take the trash to the curb. I mean, these are all skills a kid needs to know.
I have to pause you because I'm just like cringing right now. At my kid's dad's house, he does everything. Everything. Like they literally can't make toast or do the dishes. And I'm like over here busting ass, making a home-cooked meal. I eat with them. We sit together and I'm like, peace out, bitches. I'm going to go take my shower. You guys clean up the kitchen. And it's totally the opposite there. I can't believe you actually talk about that module on it because I keep telling them like how awful that is. And that's not real life.
Yeah. And it's so amazing to me how many parents think it's a punishment. It's a life skill. And I tell them just to look back when they were teenagers. Chances are they had to do it themselves. I share a story of my own thing that I'm kind of embarrassed about, but I'll share with you. My mother, I always had to, we had rotating chores, walking the dog and doing the dishes and stuff like that. But we never did the laundry. We folded the laundry, but we never washed it. We had to bring our dirty clothes down and my mother would wash it, put it in the dryer, and then we had to fold it. Okay, that's fine. So when I get to college, I don't have a washer dryer, so I'm at the laundromat all the time. And then finally, one of my roommates found a dryer or got a dryer for 10 bucks or something. I don't know. He got a dryer. So we had to wash our clothes at the laundromat, but we could come home and dry them. And that was super exciting. And then, you know, I was going drying my clothes, and they wouldn't get dry. I'd do like 6 cycles. They'd get really hot, but they wouldn't really get dry. And I called my mom and I said, I don't know about this dryer. It just doesn't dry anything. And she goes, well, when's the last time you cleaned out the lint screen? And I said, what's a lint screen? Because I had never done the laundry. So here I'm 20 years old. I'm in college. And she tells me where the lint screen is. And I pulled a flipping carpet out of that thing. It was amazing.
You're lucky.
It was amazing. It never caught fire. It was a battle just to get it out. And then what do you know? The dryer worked just fine. But I share that in the online course. I'm like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So if you're not teaching your kids, you know, at camp, we teach them how to cook, how to do their own laundry, how to pump a tank of gas, because they're That's not going to be with us all the time. We're not going to be with them all the time. And obviously their parents aren't teaching them how to do it.
Right. Okay. This might make you feel a little bit better. So when I moved out as quick as I could, and I had an apartment with friends, and at home, my mom did a lot. That was her only role. It's what she did and knew. I never had to do the dishwasher. So similar to you, I'd, you know, put them in there and stuff. Well, when I moved out, we got an apartment, we were loading the dishwasher. We're like, how do we use this? You know? And we didn't know that you had to have detergent. I mean, we did, but we didn't. We just put dish soap in it. Do you know what happens to a dishwasher when you put dish soap in it?
A nice sudsy explosion.
Everywhere. We're like, oh my God, we broke the dishwasher and we've been here one day. We had to call maintenance and they were like laughing at us. Like, did you guys put dish soap in there? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, you can't do that. I'm like, lesson learned. But I didn't know. And that's ridiculous. My kids know how to do it now, probably because I, you know, learned with myself and stuff, but we didn't know.
But even things as simple as cleaning up after yourself when you leave your room, when you leave a car, when you leave a bathroom, when you leave a kitchen, you know, our culinary program starts with ingredients, goes through cooking whatever we're cooking, and ends with cleaning up. And so the kitchen is completely spotless, ready for the next class. You know, so many teenagers, especially in our program where they have roommates for the first time, and we don't let them out of their rooms after breakfast until the mirror is cleaned off, the counter is cleaned off, the toilet is flushed, the shower is clean, the dirty clothes are in the dirty clothes. I mean, we have serious, well, I say serious, responsibilities that every kid has to do in order to begin the day, which should be normal.
Sounds like every kid needs to just go to this camp. And every parent honestly just needs to do the module, whether they feel like their child has a problem or not. It sounds like just a great parenting course that's missing in the whole world.
Yeah, there's nothing like what we do. There's so many therapists, well, people who say they're therapists, and I say that because I've talked to many.
I know.
And a lot of them claim to be addiction therapy professionals. And that usually means they're schooled in substance abuse, alcohol abuse, drug abuse. Gaming addiction is closer to food. You can game. You need to eat. You know, we live in a technology world. You can't really be completely unplugged.
No.
You just don't need to do it for 20 hours a day. You don't need to eat 4,000 calories per meal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I always screen my therapists pretty good, because if they don't really understand what we do, then they're not going to be giving therapy from the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what are the other modules? Were you through them? I can't remember now.
Oh, no. We talk about the dangers of gaming, social media, and streaming. Then we get into life skills, talk about laundry, cooking, smart shopping, and how it's not a chore or a punishment. And then we get into outside activities. Think, because parents are always like, well, if they're not going to be online, what could they possibly do? And I'll say, you can volunteer. You can get a part-time job. You can join a club. And a lot of kids feel bullied at their school. So don't go to school. Go to a local gym. Go to a local self-defense club. There's tons of things to do if you go look for it.
What did
and it's
we
all
do?
About having a healthy balance. And then we have, you know, the final module is just resources like our app and our camp. And there's a bonus module for the more expensive course that we talk about the financial footprint. That's a class we teach at camp about what does it cost you to currently live for a month that somebody else is currently paying. And then we offer that camp cookbook of all the culinary stuff that kids learn how to cook.
Oh, that's cool. I love that financial footprint because, yeah, kids have no clue what just them as an individual, as a body in this home, cost every month.
We do a question and answer thing every year, and it usually comes out to about $5,000.
I believe it.
You know, and I mean, I ask them things like, how often do you go to Starbucks? How often do you eat fast food? Mm-hmm. How many streaming services are you subscribed to, and what's that cost? Are you an Amazon Prime member? What does your phone cost? You know, what is your gaming subscription? I mean, it adds up. And that's in addition to food and rent and insurance and medical and car.
Water, electric.
How many times you take an Uber? You know, I mean, everything. And it works out to about $5,000. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so who's going to pay that? You raised your hand, said you didn't want to live with your parents when you're 25. Okay. Who's going to pay the $5,000 a month?
Right.
And what are you doing currently to get there? And YouTube 20 hours a day, gaming 20 hours a day, ain't going to cut it.
No. No, this course, honestly, and you guys will put the link to that in the show notes. I love that it sounds like it's just everyone should get it. Honestly, like if you are a parent raising a kid in this day and age, honestly, should get the course and take it and just improve your family dynamic, your parenting skills. You're probably going to become so much more aware of what your child really is doing on your phone. And then it'll help you probably open up conversation with your kids. You know, you're learning this course and then you can go and talk with them and be like, hey, so what you doing on social media? Show me your page. Do you have a spam account?
Yeah, no kidding. You know?
And start asking them. But I am so glad that we have people like you out in the world doing this and having these hard conversations. I mean, I can't imagine that it's easy to get up to middle school parents and talk about parent denial.
Well, actually, middle school parents is super easy because they're still young enough and moldable enough usually.
True.
High school parents, different game. I get the feedback that you said, you know, well, it's just a different world. It's just the way it is. Oh. And I'm like, well, then get ready to, you know, have them in your home when they're 40.
Yeah.
Because it's not the way it is. It's the way it is in your home. And it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't have to be. Consequences, right? Yeah. It's like.
Well, and we don't use words like control and consequences. We do say reclaim the parental authority. Mm-hmm. And even authority is kind of a scary word for a lot of parents. Mm-hmm. But it's reclaiming your role. You're the parent, not the pal. And your job is to create a successful young adult who can go out in the world and fend for themselves. And you're not doing that by letting them be on social media till 2 a.m.
No, or playing video games all day, all weekend. That's all they do.
Yeah. I mean, I get parents that say, you know, how young is it okay to let my kid have an Instagram account? And I'll say, hey, well, at what age is it okay to expose them to porn? Because that's what they're going to see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can monitor it and you can have them share it and you can do it healthy and make sure they're not sharing intimate photos and things that we already talked about. But that's the internet is a scary place.
Mm-hmm.
And most parents aren't ready for it, much less their kids.
No, it's such a topic. We can't be blind to it. And no one else is going to do this for your kids. You know, right. No one else is going to come and raise your children and show them how to be a good human being and be productive in society and loving and caring and aware and good communication skills. No one else is going to do this for you.
Exactly.
It's our job. Oh, Michael, this has been absolutely amazing. Tell us your social media handle. Where can people find you? Where can people sign up for the camp? We'll put everything in the show notes too.
They can just go to resetsummercamp.com. They can link to everything from there. Like I said, my email, my cell phone is on that site. The link to the online course is there. If you decide to take the online course, you put Bob Mom in the promo code and you get 10% discount.
Woo-hoo.
But all the social is there too. But like I said, we don't post all that much on social other than places where parents might see us who are looking for help.
Mm-hmm.
So it's resetsummercamp.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on for part two. This has been great. Would love to have you back again, especially maybe after a camp or if you're designing a new course or like, because we said this is always changing, right? Like just from the time that you and I were talking right now, things have changed already.
Yeah.
But just like keep us updated and things that you're learning and new things that you're seeing. Because I guarantee like a year from now, I bet you'll be like, oh, this is the new trend. This is what we have to watch out for now.
Yeah, well, that's true. And although I can tell you, my message will still be the same. Because like when every kid in the world was addicted to Fortnite, that's all we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But Fortnite is just a symptom. The problem is the family dynamic.
Right.
So the symptoms are going to change and come at you and, you know, get worse, which is even more reason to fix the family dynamic.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, so brilliant. Michael, thank you for coming on. Everyone, check out the show notes, follow, reach out, do the course, use the code. We have all the tools here for you to be successful.
Yeah,
and
there's
just
no reason not to.
None. No reason. Oh, thank you again for coming on.
All right.
Everyone, stay safe, stay healthy. Until next time.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. This is given with the understanding that neither the host, practice of the practice, or the guest are providing legal, mental health, nutritional, or other professional information. If you need a professional, you should find one.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.